Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
This is for you just a little bit today. St. Louis Connection and Michael McDonald, right? Sweet Freedom.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I like that song. Hey, did you know that, and I can't believe that she didn't stop in on us. Do you know Simone Biles is basically right across the street, or she was earlier doing the Wash U commencement speech?
No, I didn't know that. And I had read that she was going to be that. And I thought, isn't that nice? But I didn't retain the day or the time.
That would be a speech that I would love to hear. I really
you
would.
You knew it would be motivating.
Absolutely.
Right, well, her husband's from here, yes?
Well, that's...
Is that the
true?
Whole thing?
Is that
I
the hook
so.
There?
He's got a connection here.
Oh.
All right, hang on. I'll go find that out. Simone Biles' husband.
Yeah, I thought that maybe I'm confused about her husband. Her husband's the Chicago Bears player,
Jonathan
right?
Owens.
Yeah, did he have a St. Louis connection? Mm-hmm. I should know this. I just don't know it.
Hold on. Missouri Western Griffins. He played college football for the Missouri Western Griffins.
Okay, so a little Missouri connection.
There you go.
Interesting. Well, this is, you are a fan of some of the Maha. Wait, what were you going to say?
He went to CBC.
Oh, did he really?
Yes.
How did I not? I feel really stupid for not knowing that.
That's all right.
RFK Jr., you're a fan, right?
Yes.
This is shocking. Listen to this.
During the Biden administration, HHS became a collaborator in child trafficking and for sex and for slavery. And we have ended that, and we're very aggressively going out and trying to find these children, 300,000 children that were lost by the Biden administration.
So that sounds kind of nutty, kooky,
whoa,
wacky, except it's true. Hey. And Chris Klemm, former Yuma Sector Border Patrol chief who just completed a 100-day commitment to serve as a special advisor to RFK Jr. at HHS, is back with us this afternoon. Chris, first of all, welcome back. We have missed you tremendously. How are you?
Mark, it is great to be on the show. I am so happy to have been part of something historic with Trump's first 100 days and working there with Secretary Kennedy. My whole team up there was wonderful. I know a couple of them are listening right now. I think Mia is listening right now. It's just really, really powerful when you have a cabinet secretary tell the president and the entire press corps that was there what happened and what we've done to fix it. And so, yeah, it was a great opportunity. I'm great to be back home with my family. But yeah, this is something special going on with this administration to right the wrongs of the past 4 years.
Well, let's address that specifically, what he just said, because quite candidly, I think most people just heard that for the first time and they're not familiar with this. This is not a story, as you know, that the legacy media is really following up on. But you're one of the people that sort of investigated all of this, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, this was something I've dealt with for nearly 30 years now, I guess going on 30 years, I've been in this space. But as chief, we had to deal with unaccompanied children. And the process for all your listeners is anytime an unaccompanied child, which is anybody 17 or younger, that's not with their parent or legal guardian, they get placed by law, placed in the custody of Health and Human Services Office of Refugee Resettlement. The problem is under the Biden administration, the first 120 days that a child was after they came across the United States, they were released without the proper immigration charging documents. And so what that meant was the sponsors, whether they were supposedly parents or other adults, would apply to be their sponsors. We didn't have a system in place, or it was taken away, it was disrupted because of poor policies, that these kids were oftentimes placed with people that submitted fraudulent information, or we couldn't verify that their photo, the photo evidence or the driver's license or whatever was verifiable, and we released them anyway. And there was close to 300,000 that never got served the proper paperwork that were basically unaccounted for. And just to fact checked all that, under the 4 years of the Biden administration, 479,000 unaccompanied alien children entered the United States. I mean, that's incredible.
Jeez. It is incredible. But, you know, if I think that RFK Jr., when he said the soundbite that I just played, was that like the middle of last week, Chris?
Yeah, that was last Wednesday. I think it was the 100th day when they were having a cabinet meeting there at the White House.
So I Google this right now, Sue. There's nothing except for this. RFK Jr. pushes conspiracy HHS forced kids into slavery. So they basically are saying that you're making all this up, Chris.
Yeah, they're spinning it. Well, here's the deal. When you don't know who the sponsor is because you didn't require certain elements to be vetted, you didn't check on their immigration status. There's plenty of evidence that's going to come out. We've done all the research, or we're continue to investigate, that shows, you know, photograph and digital manipulated evidence that or pictures that says, yeah, this is me and this child and its mother. And it's a Photoshop job that I could have done better.
Wow.
And we're releasing them. We weren't running criminal checks. We weren't doing fingerprints. They ended biometric and DNA testing. So we have no idea, really, where a lot of these kids were going to. We just based it off of whatever they submitted. We were the HHS was completing the cycle, the smuggling and trafficking cycle, by putting them into a majority of these kids into unvetted or unknown sponsorship. And so that is those practices, I can tell you with confidence, we have ended that. And anybody, whether you're an employee or a sponsor or somewhere in between, if you're knowingly, willingly, fraudulently, you know, exploiting the system, these kids and our government, we're coming after you. You know, and the Department of Justice is involved, DHS is involved, we're working collectively to make sure we can find that. We may not find every one of them, but the ones we are going to find, we're going to protect. We're going to make sure that they're taken care of, that their immigration system or the system is put back in place properly. And if they need to, if they get a right to stay here, great. If they're not, we will move them to their country with their family or whoever their, you know, next of kin is.
Well, here's why I think the numbers are interesting. I mean, that sounds like a lot of people, right? 400,000.
Yes.
But let's think about the millions and millions of people who streamed across this border, Chris Klemm. You've highlighted it so many times on this show and on Fox. And then, of course, miraculously, you know, you and I haven't caught up about this. Miraculously, the border is shut down. How did that happen? Because I thought it was only because of Donald Trump not signing on to the bill and giving his green light last year. The Democrats told us it's not possible for Joe Biden to close the border, Chris. I'm very confused.
Yeah. Isn't that great? All it took was it didn't take a legislative fix. It took a presidential fix, somebody to go back in there and finish what they started. You know, go back to December 23, when the polls just sank Biden-Harris under border security immigration. We were averaging over 10,000 illegal entries a day. Now we're averaging about 250. April of 2021, the Office of Refugee Resettlement placed over 18,000 unaccompanied children into various sponsors in 1 month alone. So now we're averaging about, you know, 5 to 10 unaccompanied children coming across the border. And that average is because some days they'll be, you know, in the high teens, but then there'll be days with just one or two unaccompanied children coming across. So we're slowly and drastically seeing that those numbers drop, because we were averaging 330 to 350 kids a day at one point. I mean, this is what President Trump meant when he said, we're going to secure the border. Then he said, number two, going after those gangs and the public safety and national security threats. And then number three, the one I was part of the last 100 days, was, you know, finding these kids and slowing that or fixing that process so we never have this atrocity, you know, impact America again.
Well, and then you have, let's kind of bring it to the moment of the day, where you have this ICE detention facility in Newark, New Jersey, and you have members of Congress, Democrat members of Congress, and the mayor of this town in New Jersey that are arrested outside of this.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Facility, because they're clashing with the people that are trying to run the ICE facility. There's pushing, there's shoving. Here's the Newark mayor.
We don't know what's going on in there. We don't know who's in there. They don't allow inspections. They're not doing, they're not complying with the local laws. They don't have a certificate of occupancy in our argument, and we were in court arguing these matters. We usually solve those problems in America through the court of law. They don't want to use the court. They want to use a decree. They believe that whether we have a kingdom here and not a democracy, and that's the problem.
Yeah, once again, Chris, we have members of Congress and American lawmakers who are supposed to put American citizens first. They're not doing that. But I want you to address the issue of the ICE detention centers, because these things are played off like they're just, you know, a bunch of starving people in there and there's nothing clean. They're pretty nice facilities, aren't they?
Those are the highest standards of detention that we have in our nation. I can tell you why, because a lot of the state and locals and counties oftentimes cannot detain federal prisoners because they don't have the same level of standard and level of care that are required by immigration and customs enforcement removal operations. So to sit there and listen to whoever that was in that soundbite acting like we don't know who's in there, what's going on there, those people are treated very, very well. I guarantee you they're treated a lot better than the survivors of that Hurricane Helene in North Carolina.
Absolutely.
The way the Democrats ran that. Look, this is just virtual signaling. They do this all the time because they cannot get President Trump and his administration a win on anything. And this is, I am so glad that somebody was put in handcuffs. You assault a federal officer, I don't care who you are, what you think you're supposed to be doing, what your audience and followers want you to do. You put your hand on a law enforcement officer, it's not going to end well. And we've warned them, and this guy and this group of people want to be martyrs, fine. But you know what? They messed up. They did that in the state of New Jersey. We just got a pretty hardline acting interim U.S. attorney up there in Alina Haba. And you know what? If those charges are pursued, she's going to make sure that they're going to be prosecuted. And no one should walk if you assault an officer. And again, that's one thing to protest. We're fine with that. But you don't disrupt operations. You don't disrupt the movement and transport of prisoners. And you certainly don't put your shoulder or hip check a federal agent when he's trying to keep you back. I'm glad that that was caught on camera. I'm glad that they were, you know, arrested. And you know what? In the words of Doc Holliday, I'm your Huckleberry. That's what's going to happen the next time, right?
Absolutely. So one thing that I haven't, and I just Googled this because, Chris, I've mentioned to the audience a few times, but was out of the country for a little bit, so I missed some of the stories. Before I left, though, we were talking about Hannah Dugan, this Milwaukee County Circuit Judge, who I guess now is due back in court this week for a preliminary hearing. The Supreme Court of Wisconsin has suspended her for now. It doesn't look like that narrative is going to work out for the Dems, but what did you think of that? A judge in this country shuffling out the back door a migrant who's not supposed to be here legally and is a, you know, criminal anyway.
Well, it's part of the U.S. Code. 8 U.S.C. 1324 has to do with smuggling, but aiding and abetting illegal entry, and that's what she was doing. When you hide or conceal or harbor an illegal alien, or what she did was basically conceal and allow them to and she interfered with their the federal actions, you know, that's a shame. I mean, that should be an immediate removal. And out of if she had any credibility, she'd say, look, I apologize and I'm stepping down, you know, because this is, look, you and I could never get away with that. And whether we are politically involved or not, you can't sit there and use this as an excuse because you want to fight the president's agenda on immigration. Well, look, his immigration agenda is actually lawful immigration and trying to figure out ways to bring people in the right way and to protect those that are truly being persecuted. They just brought in refugees today.
That's right.
But you cannot aid and abet and harbor criminals in this United States. You cannot aid and abet illegal aliens who all they did was break the law and remain here. But when you have gang members and those that are, you know, have fines and other issues going on, that's flat out ridiculous. And you know what? I'm glad that they're taking these actions. Maybe, just maybe, it'll open some eyes and bring some common sense and just meet at the table and talk. Talk to the ICE agent in charge in your area and figure out what they need to do to make sure they can uphold the rule of law. I mean, this is a judge that's supposed to rule on the constitutionality, whether it's at the federal level or the state level, and they're aiding and abetting an illegal alien. That's preposterous, and welcome to today's Democrat Party, I guess.
So what's the work that still, I'm sure there's a lot, that needs to be done? You served as a special advisor to RFK Jr. at HHS, and you were focused on the Office of Refugee Resettlement. To your point, the president even announced today that there's refugees coming in from Africa because they're being killed, right? They have a reason to have asylum. But what needs to happen next, or what more needs to happen?
Well, I'll say that we always need to continue to codify what practices and policies we put in place through congressional action. So some of the mandates that we put in we did at ORR basically are aligning applicants and sponsors to our U.S. domestic policy when it comes to foster care. You know, you have to have proof of income. You have to have a verifiable ID. You have to make sure you're not a criminal or have any criminals in your household. So things like that that could be codified in law. That's one thing when it comes to the kids. But it goes back to the first leg of that stool, and that's securing the border. President Trump has already begun wall construction. They're doing all the things that he started under his first term. We need to continue that. And while the numbers are down, while we have the majority in the House and Senate and the president right now in the White House, we need to shore up the border. We need to finish what we started. So this is not a conversation that gets kicked down the road every administration. And then we need to focus on the northern border. We know that we're having a better relationship with Canada when it comes to border security, but we need to make sure that we find those gaps and codify that through infrastructure and technology on that northern border as well. So we're not done yet. Let's take advantage of the lull in the action. Let's put the right money through this big reconciliation, this big, beautiful bill. Let's fund the agents and the agencies down there on the border, finish what we started, get this secure border once and for all, and then we can really address the lawful immigration process that needs to happen to make sure that we continue to be that beacon of hope for people around the world and for Americans who want to have businesses and want to thrive here if they can't find the workers here in the United States. We got to be able to find an easier way to bring people in back in the seasonal manner or, you know, some one-offs as necessary.
Yeah.
But definitely want to do it here with Americans first. But we also have to recognize that there are opportunities abroad that we could work with. But we got to secure the border first. So that's what's underway now.
Chris Klein is back with us this afternoon. You know, what's interesting is I want to tell you two stories. One, Keir Starmer, the new prime minister of England, said some very interesting things on immigration and trying to control their immigration. Then 2 weeks ago, I'm in Athens, Greece, and I'm having lunch. And there's a young woman who notices that we have more Americans. We have, you know, speaking English. And she was from Canada. And she's a teacher in Canada. And she was telling me about, you know, really, really terrible teaching shortage. And one of the issues that she pointed toward was immigration in Canada. So it's not only the U.S. that has these issues, but of course, Canada doesn't want to really tackle them head on like we do in this country, at least with President Trump. I'm encouraged that Keir Starmer's saying some things that I never expected him to say over across the pond right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we need to look at when it comes down to being the beacon of hope of the United States of America, you know, as other countries look to us, I think that's what President Trump wants to do. He wants to show you that you can secure your border and you have the right to secure the border. We know that. And he's just making sure that the rest of the political parties get in line, secure our border. And then let's really clean up that lawful immigration system. I truly believe, and I don't have this, it's just kind of my opinion, that he would love to have if President Trump could get his way, I think what he wants is there should never be an illegal alien coming across from Mexico that, you know, that's looking for work. Like, we should have ability to. Now, if you're a criminal and you're a prior deport and you're an ag felon, yeah, they're going to escape and try to come in illegally. There's still going to be that need. But why don't we have something that works economically for both countries? Same thing with Canada. And really look at this from a North American perspective,
yeah,
that we have this back and forth. Again, nothing usurps or should take precedent over our security. But I think we're well underway on that. But I think at the end of the day, we should be able to walk back and forth with the right vetting and come to work and use the trade and travel and the work opportunities that both countries can give, or all three countries can give each other. I think that's where he wants to go. Problem is he just has a bunch of virtue signaling, gaslighting Democrats that want to oppose everything, to include some of the judicial appointees that are there. Now, you know, they call it a judicial coup, and it seems like it just plays out every week. Hopefully we'll get this fixed. But, man, we're only 110, 112 days into a 4-year term. So I just think it's just going to look better and better each month we move forward.
Well, selfishly, Chris, I'm glad to have you back here on 97.1 FM Talk, and I appreciate your insight this afternoon. It's always great, and I hope you're well.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. I look forward to the next time. And, you know, again, thank you for having me on, and hope all your listeners are doing well, and look forward to the next time we have a conversation.
Absolutely. Chris Klemm, have a great week. We'll see you.
Get more at 971talk.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.